Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am the founder of Accidental Creative and the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative and the new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is all about how to create an environment in which creative teams can thrive. And here on the show, we talk about you and your process and how to bring yourself to what you do every day in a way that you can build a body of work that you can be proud of and stay prolific, brilliant, and healthy all at the same time. On today's show, we have Mike Michalowicz. Mike is the author of a brand new book called Clockwork, Design Your Business to Run Itself. Whether you're a freelancer, if you run a business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you aspire to be an entrepreneur, this conversation is going to help you think more strategically about how you structure your day-to-day activities so that your business doesn't consume you and you can focus on doing the things that you're really great at doing. Speaking of processes and systems that help you be better at what you do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. So if you have a business or if you know someone who does, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. I know this well. I'm sure you do as well. And some of those hats are totally great, but some, like filing taxes, running payroll, for example, are not so great. And that's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add health benefits and even a 401k for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers simply weren't built for the way that modern small businesses work. But Gusto is. So let Gusto handle one of your many hats. You have a lot of better things to do. Listeners to the Accidental Creative get 3 months free when they run their first payroll. So try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. And we thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Mike Michalowicz. He's the author of a new book called Clockwork, Design Your Business to Run Itself. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, that sounds great to me. I can't wait to dive into it. Welcome to the show, Mike Michalowicz.
Oh, Todd, it's a joy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So that subtitle is a pretty hefty promise, Design Your Business to Run Itself. First, I would love to hear, I mean, you've written a number of books. They've all been super successful. And obviously you go out, you're having tremendous impact working with organizations and individuals. Why did you feel a need to write this particular book?
Well, I discovered this thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I believe it translates into business. Basically, Maslow proposed that foundationally humans need food, water, sustenance, and you go up to shelter, love and belonging, and so forth. I think businesses have these same foundational needs, and if they're not being addressed, we revert to addressing those. And the base level is sales. Like if we don't have any inbound source of revenue to our business, nothing else matters. But once there's sales, the next level up is profitability. Like we need, that's the nourishment for a business where sales maybe is the oxygen. And if we don't have profitability, our business will actually wilt away. So we need to feed it. I believe the next level up is the equivalent of shelter, and it's protecting time, our most valuable resource that I don't believe is replenishable, at least as I define it. And therefore, Clockwork was designed specifically for entrepreneurs to protect their time, giving them the freedom to do what they want when they want in their lives and how they choose in their business.
Mm. Well, that's great. Well, and you, it's this book, what I love about this book, Clockwork, is this very prescriptive, Mike, and you, obviously you've done this a time or two. it's so evident that you've experienced this in a lot of different contexts, and there's kind of a 7-part framework that you walk people through in the book. And I would love to just dive into a couple of those and have you talk a little more about them. The ones that I know for me personally, this is incredibly convicting reading this book and having this conversation, because I know that I am profoundly bad at doing a lot of these things that you write about in the book. And I know I need to do this on a personal level. So the very first part, the first core concept you talk about is that we need to analyze the 4D mix, which is doing, deciding, delegating, and designing. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and to your point of being bad at doing this, I feel I am too, and I think most of us are. So hopefully the goal of Clockwork was to simplify this process, the 4Ds being the starting point. The 4Ds is the four levels of business performance. The basic level is doing. Every business must be doing something. The next level up is called deciding, and deciding is the assignment of tasks, where you may say, Mike, do this, and I go do it. But as I do it, I come back to you with questions. You are anchored in to make the decisions. So you're just task rabbiting me effectively. Well, the way out of that is to the next level, which is called delegation or delegating. And the true form of delegating is not assigning tasks, it's assigning outcomes. You know, we need to make sure our clients are billed timely and accurately. Here's a best practice invoicing. But as you follow this process, any problems, any challenges you have, you know the outcome. We've agreed to it. Make decisions that get us there, even when we have anomalies. That's what true delegation is. And then the highest level is designing. And I believe as entrepreneurs mature in their business, this is where we need to move to. Designing is clarity on the outcomes we want to achieve. It's that vision we've had for the business. Interestingly, something we spend a lot of time on before we start our business, the day we open the doors, then all panic ensues and we forget about the vision. Right. We need to get back to the clarity of what the vision is, the intended outcome for the organization. Then, and this is the biggest part of designing, is choreographing the resources we have collectively to achieve that outcome as efficiently as possible. So organizing my staff, if I have a staff, maybe a very small firm of one even, I can still do this by choreographing the software tools I have, the vendors I use, part-time and virtual help I use, plus my employees, collectively using them to get us to the outcome we want. That's called the design phase. That's the 4Ds.
Well, I want to ask you to dive into that a little more, into the point that you just made, the side comment, because I think a lot of people listening to this are freelancers. They're people who maybe are solopreneurs or they have their own business in some way. And they're thinking, wait a minute, I am the core value. I am the business. I'm more of a freelancer. And so the idea of designing a business to work without me sounds like it would be a bit of a paradox. What would you say to those people?
Yeah. And so that's very common, especially for creative types.
Yeah.
And so when I was studying this, I said, who could never be outsourced or who could never have a business run without them? And I thought painters were a great example. So I discovered a guy, Peter Lely, from the 1800s, who absolutely removed himself from the business. Now, he elected to pull himself out about 90% of the way. And so this is a throttle. We can extract ourselves from the business as much as we want, but we can stay actively involved if we choose to. Peter Lely's story speaks to your question very well, so I'll share it very quickly. What Peter Lely did was he realized he's particularly good at painting faces, almost lifelike pictures. But back in the 1800s, when he was a painter, a portrait would be of the full body, the background. So only about 10% of the painting was the face. The remainder was all the other stuff. He went to his studio. He painted 10 templated backgrounds and 9 or 10 templated body styles, you know, clothing and so forth. Then when he was hired to do a painting project, he would paint the face of the person and then return to the studio and tell his apprentice, hey, Jimmy, throw background 3 with body 7 on there. And the apprentice team would do the rest of the painting. Peter Lely became the most prolific painter of that time period, painting thousands where his contemporaries did, you know, maybe 100 or so. We can do the same thing. Find out what our zone of genius is, what our special talent is, and then concentrate all our energy on that. Build around us the people that can do the residual but necessary work. And I think you can find that you can maybe be responsible for only 10% of your business and the rest of it's running on automatic. Mm-hmm. It then is a choice, and it is a choice, to remove yourself even from that last component. Peter could have gotten ghost painters if he desired or did something else where he removed himself fully. He chose not to. And that's the freedom of being an entrepreneur. You choose to what degree you want to continue to participate in your business if you do want to at all.
Yeah, I love that because I think, you know, one of the things people challenge with is I am not scalable, right? Like I myself, my physical presence is not scalable. So if somebody you know, if somebody hired me to come give a speech, as then I know they do with you as well, if I sent somebody in my place, they're not going to be very happy about that, you know, because they hired me to come. But that's one of those unique things that I can, only I can do. Now, I could build a business where we have a number of people who go out and give speeches, and that's a totally different thing. But if it's me, if I'm the one they're hiring, that doesn't apply. But that means maybe that's my, you know, 5% of the business that I need to be personally involved in. But that doesn't mean I should be doing everything in the business. Maybe that's me painting faces.
That's exactly right. And so, right. So we're both speakers, and I've experienced the same thing. I actually have reduced my speaking, but increased the number of speeches, which sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but here's what I did. I have a marquee kind of presentation I do on Profit First, which is my most popular book up to this point. I'm hoping Clockwork supersedes it, but whatever.
I think
we'll
find
out. Yeah, well, thank you. What I've done is I've trained 30 different people to speak on Profit First. And this was last Thursday of last week. We delivered, I think it was 6 Profit First presentations, and I did none of them. Mm-hmm. I will still do the main events, the main stage events that are, they only want to work with me. But what I'm finding is I used to do a lot of speaking gigs. They didn't want me so much as the topic. And people are interested, actually desirous to hire other people, not because of the cost, because there's a cost difference. But what happened is these other speakers have become specialists. So there's someone speaking on Profit First specifically to the e-commerce companies. There's another one doing it just for dentists. And now when they have a choice, say, you know, do I hire Mike to speak about Profit First in front of dentists, or should I hire Drew Heinrichs, who does that? They're saying, you know what, let's get Drew because he understands us better than anyone else. So I think even guys like me and you can clockwork our business to and remove ourselves if we so desire.
I love that. That's great advice. So I want to talk about the second part of the framework, which is to define the corporate queen bee role. What does that mean? I love that phrase.
Yeah.
By the way. What does it mean?
Yeah. Queen bee. So I was looking for the linchpin to business efficiency. I couldn't really find it in any businesses. I couldn't find a common thread. They all have their own kind of special approach. I boil it down to ultimately the most efficient organization, which is beehives, extremely efficient. And what all bees know is that there's a singular role that's most important for the survivability of a hive. And what that is the production of eggs. Now, the queen bee does that, but all the bees know that if eggs aren't being laid, we got an issue, and bees will revert to assist that process, cooling the hive or heating it or collecting food or whatever. The confusion that people have is they say, oh, every business then must have a queen bee, a singular person who's playing the most important role. And the answer is that's not true. That person doesn't need to be singular, and that doesn't even need to be the most important person. Meaning, beehives know if the queen bee is not producing eggs, that she can be expunged and they can produce spawn a new queen bee. In our business, we need to identify what's the one critical role that our survivability and thrivability is hinged on. What is that one activity that is most important to driving our organization? The hint to finding is, what is your brand promise? What are you world famous for? What's the most important thing, one thing that you're most famous for? Then we peel back the onion one layer and say, what's the one activity, the most important activity that supports that brand promise? That is the QBR. That is the laying of eggs for your organization. We now need to make sure every employee is aware of it, defends it, protects it, and that's always being served. Because as it performs, the entire organization will perform.
So I love that. And I think that is, we make things so complicated, right? And especially as businesses evolve, they develop layers and layers and layers and derivations of systems. And sometimes it's really difficult to trace things back to, okay, this is really sort of the linchpin activity that is keeping the business going. And it's sometimes, frankly, it's not even the thing that you think it is, right? Once you begin to do some of these analyses on your own business.
Yeah, in most cases, it isn't. I was surprised. We're working with so many businesses now helping them, and they don't have a clue. So I'll give you an example of how to find it very easily with a corporate brand, FedEx, because everyone, you know, recognizes the brand. We have the first look. What's the promise of FedEx? And FedEx promises to deliver your packages on time. That's the promise. That's what they're known for. If they said, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore, let's do something else, they're out of business. So we expect that from them, brand promise. We peel back the onion one layer, and the one layer behind it, the activity that supports that, is the delivery of packages. It's logistics. Therefore, FedEx is all about logistics, and they better sure protect that. If they say, you know what, let's get rid of our logistics division, let packages deliver themselves, they will be devastated. We need to do the same thing. What's that one thing we know it for? And then what's the one most important activity supporting it? If we don't protect it, if it gets compromised, our business will be compromised. Mm. It really is that simple. There is no more complexity to it.
I love that. I want to talk about one other component that you talk about in the book. And this is, we're skipping a few here. So if you want to know all seven of them, you have to read the book Clockwork. But this is capture systems. So you want to document the systems that you have all in one place. Why is this important?
Yeah. So traditionally we've been using SOPs, checklists, and those things, while effective, become stagnant very quickly. So we have to adjust to modern times. For example, we wrote an SOP here for shipping product. And the day it rolled out, the site we used, which was the Postal Service, updated their website. The SOP became irrelevant. Hmm. So now what we do is capture. And capture simply is using technology to its advantage. When someone does a process here that we're going to transfer to someone else, we record it using screen capture software, sometimes a smartphone if it's a physical movement of some sort. And then we deliver that recording to the person and say, now replicate this process. Once they're replicating it, we then require that that person now responsible for that task, they've been delegated it, is to design the next version of that training, meaning they record a video. Because ultimately, the greatest student is always the teacher. So we want our own people teaching it and taking ownership that this is now their responsibility.
And that's another core principle that you talk about in the book, is that you want to treat your employees like owners of the business.
Yeah, and I'll give you a little secret to do this. So you want to treat them like owners, which is first the assignment of outcomes, not telling them the tasks. You do have best practices and you want to empower them by letting them follow them, of course. But you assign the outcome, saying, what are we looking to achieve here? Mm-hmm. Then empowering them with decisions, saying, as you go through this process, you make all the decisions. Now, here's what empowerment is, and this is where so many entrepreneurs, including myself, slipped up. Empowerment of decisions means that any decision needs to be supported, even bad decisions. So when I tell my employee to do something, if they make a bad decision and doesn't get the outcome we want, I am responsible to go to them and say, listen, while we didn't achieve the outcome we wanted, the fact that you made a decision that you felt was in the best interest of our company is amazing. You are trying to move us forward. I want to reward you for that. Congratulations. Fix this challenge we're facing and push us forward. Go, go, go. That's the challenge that entrepreneurs have. We're not rewarding decision making. We're only rewarding the right decisions, which traps us and makes our employees fearful and is not the true form of delegation.
Well, and by the way, I would say that applies not just to entrepreneurs, but anybody managing people inside of an organization.
Yes.
Right? I think that's really critical. Well, the book's called Clockwork, Design Your Business to Run Itself. The author is Mike Michalowicz. Mike, what's the best way for people to find you if they're looking for you?
Yeah. So if you want to explore Clockwork, because we focus on today, I set up a site with all the resources that you can imagine for free to empower your team. There's videos, there's trainings up there. Go to clockwork.life. That's .life, clockwork.life. All those resources are there ready for download, including I coached a client through this process. I have the whole recording up there so you can be a fly on the wall and get some superfluous coaching, if you will.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Well, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, it's been a joy. Thank you so much for having me.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.